Hi, this is Marcus Idell, and you are listening to Sonic Perspectives.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another interview of Sonic Perspectives. I'm your host, Rodrigo, and today we're going to talk with guitar player and producer Marcus Hidel of Avatarium. Marcus, thanks for sitting down with us today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Really. Let's talk about the new Avatarium album, The Fire I Long For, which was released about 10 days ago. Are you already able to gauge the fans' reception of the album or not yet?
Yeah, this far it really seems like people are really enjoying the album, so I think it's been the best reception this far. So I'm really overwhelmed. You know, we've won many sound checks in big European magazines and Album of the Month in many big magazines. So it's really been amazing. And but now, you know, now this the kind of ground work begins when hopefully fans really like the album and start to tell their friends about it, and it spreads that way, because that's usually the way it spreads in this genre, I would say.
Yeah, I think the best compliment these days is when a fan just spreads the word, like I'm doing, for example. I only discovered this band now, so I'm sharing this with all my friends. Hey, you gotta listen to this band, because it's really special.
I'm happy about that. That's really nice to hear. Because yeah. That's the best thing, you know, that's the best thing you can have when someone really from their heart tells that this is a great thing.
Yeah. And I must say, I love the title. What is it that you're trying to convey with the title, The Fire I Long For?
You know, it can be a lot of different things, but I think we all need, you know, a fire or fires in our lives. If you hear something in the background, it's my son.
That's okay.
Soon 2 years old, and he's starting to get tired. Okay, but you know, and he is one of the fires that inspires me, actually, speaking about that. Mm-hmm. So you need things to me it's important to have things. You know, music is something that really inspires me to go up in the morning and do something. And it can be different things. It can be a friend, new friend, or a friend, good friend, or it can be, you know, a sibling, or it can be a great book that really inspires, or, you know, there's so many things. But it's important to have these things for me, because if I don't have it, if I lose the fires in my life, then I probably don't, you know, have much. You know, I'm starting to, you know, that's when you start to die, I think, when you lose the fire.
Absolutely, yeah. And can you guide us through the process of writing and recording the new album, and how long did it take you, and where did you guys record it?
We recorded in my studio. I have a studio in Stockholm, and where I also produce other bands. Mm-hmm. I did the last Calmas album in there. And but it usually starts with me. The songs that me and Janian write starts with that I usually have an idea from an acoustic guitar or something. And I show it to Janian, and she listens to it, and she likes it. She takes it to her chamber, and she continues to work on it. And maybe she has a new chorus or new verse or something. You know, why don't we try this? And then she shows that to me, and I listen to it, and I'm if I like it, then I continue to work on that. So it goes back and forward between us. Okay. Actually, that's how we do it a lot. And then when we feel that we have a song, then we take it to the rehearsal, to the studio, and we start to make proper demos, and we bring in the band, and we rehearse, and we do all these arrangements. You know, the band is a big part of the arrangements. We have extremely talented musicians in the band, so we all work together, and we all try to make the songs as good as possible. You know, so I think it's all in all, writing and recording, maybe it took like 9 months or something like that.
Wow, okay.
So maybe more, I'm not sure. You know, there's a lot of ideas, you know. We always have ideas, you know. Mm. And then, but it's hard to say, but 9 months, something like that. Yeah. Well, we work a lot, you know, and we really put a lot of effort in the songs. And but when the songs are ready, and you know, everybody are great musicians, so when we have the sounds and when the songs are done, you know, written, then we can record them quite fast because everybody are excellent musicians, I would say.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that Leif Edling, who started the band, is still contributing and brought 3 songs for the new album, right?
Yeah, exactly. And right. he's an amazing songwriter. So, and you know, I've been working with him for a long time with many different things, and he's one of the big inspirations, I would say. And mm-hmm. I learned a lot from, you know, working with him and seeing how he is, his process when he is writing songs. So he's extremely important in many ways, I would say.
Okay, we're going to talk about another important collaboration between you and Leif in a minute. But for now, let me ask you about the lineup. This time you have a new drummer, Andres Johansson. How has he adapted to the new role?
Yeah, very, very good. You know, he's an old friend of mine. And he's one of my best friends, actually. And he's also one of Sweden's finest drummers. So he's, you know, it's just very easy to work with him. He's also a fan of Avatarium. He was a fan of Avatarium before he started, so he really likes the band and he understands the style. And we actually did an album before with the Doomsday Kingdom, and so he played on that album. And he also played on my solo album that I did like, I don't know, 8 years ago or whatever. So we've been friends for a long time, and he's just, you know, he's just one of these guys that comes in and makes the song better when he plays on it.
Is there any chance of a future Doomsday Kingdom album, or is that dormant for now?
No, you know, you never know. It's at this moment I don't think we have the time for it, but you know, it would be, of course, it would be great fun to do one more album. It's a great band, and as long as we live, as long as we keep the fires alive. Okay. Let's see.
Right. And going back to Avatarium, is there room for the other members of the band to contribute if they bring something to the table, or not really? Is it the game
it's they really contribute a lot, you know, both Rickard Nilsson and Andreas Haber Johansson. Mm-hmm. they've been extremely big part of the arrangements, and they've been like going into the songs and, you know, what about changing this thing and take out this thing? So the album wouldn't have sound like it sound, you know, in arrangements and how the songs are built or anything if they weren't a part of it. So they are extremely important, I would say. And I really trust them. Both of them are close friends to mine, and I have big respect for them as musicians. So they are extremely important to me. Mm-hmm. And to Jan as well.
Okay. And tell us about this expression, dark gospel. I think it's been referred to as like the theme of a couple of songs on the album. Can you share what that means to you?
Yeah, to me, it's, you know, it's, I always liked some kind of old gospel music, you know, when the kind of gospel music that is a little bit darker and it deals with maybe afterlife and or life and death, and, you know, when you go into the other side. And like we did a cover of In My Time of Dying, for example, that kind of style always inspired me. I always wanted to bring that kind of sounds in Avatarium, but in our own way. So that's why I started to talk about dark gospel. But then of course it can be like a gospel, a dark gospel, you know, like that it might, you know, we have to be careful with how you know what we do and how we behave and all this kind of stuff, there's a lot of strange movements around, you know, a lot of dark forces that tries to come into our lives. And yeah, I'm a little bit concerned in Europe, you know, with a lot of the like right wing movements and all this kind of stuff. So you know, I believe in that you need to try to bring in light, you know, in your life and try to search for the good and all this kind of stuff. I'm not a religious person in that way, but I think you need to be careful with dark forces and reach for the good in life.
Absolutely, yeah. And it seems that with every Avatar release, there's a little bit of rupture with where you guys were as a band in the beginning. But I think this time it's like a whole new game for you, sonically, in terms of image, etc. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, this one of the things we said when we started to work on this album was that we wanted to be a heavy and, you know, a big, fat production. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the things. We felt a little bit with the album we did before, Hurricanes and Halos, that it was a little bit too classic rock, you know, style,
okay,
sound-wise, and how it turned out, like, sound-wise, like in the mix and this kind of stuff. So, mm-hmm. So we wanted to be a little bit more dark and heavy, actually, on this album. But still, mm-hmm. We brought in some, you know, other, like, acoustic elements and one song is just almost piano and vocals, like jazzy song. So it's like this is both. I think this new album is both heavier and, in one way, it's also softer. So because it's so many different songs, I would say.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a very diverse collection of songs for sure. Yeah.
And we also like, you know, the psychedelic stuff. I always loved, you know, what happened like in the late 60s, you know, 69, 70s, you know, bands like The Doors and Crosby, Stills and Nash and Led mm-hmm. Zeppelin, of course, and that kind of stuff. That's also a big inspiration with the psychedelic stuff and Jimi Hendrix, you know, and this kind of stuff. So we wanted to bring in some of that, and especially actually The Doors was a quite big inspiration with this album.
Okay, sure. Yeah. And I like how the cover of the new album is very different from what you guys did before as well. To be fair, all of them are somewhat different from each other, but this one is quite unique. Can you describe what it represents? Or,
you know, it's a little bit like also up to everybody to how you interpret that picture and that, you know, creature or figure or what it is, you know. To me, it can be different things, different days when I look on it, and I like that you don't really know. What is it? Is it like is it a demon? Is it an angel? What is it? You know. So I think that's also what Avatarium is about. It's about lights and shadows, and dealing with good and bad, and dark and light, and all these kind of things.
Okay.
So we're very interested in this, you know, both the big questions in life and the small questions in life. And
mm-hmm. Sure. Well, that's somewhat reflected in the videos that you did for Rubicon and Voices as well, which I like. It seems that Jenny Ann also loves to play different characters in every video. So yeah, will there be more videos for this release? Or?
I'm not sure. Maybe. It would be nice to do. I always wanted to do a video of the Fire Along For, actually, but I don't know. We'll see what the record label wants, actually.
Okay.
But maybe it would be fun to do one more video. But
yeah.
I'm not sure. You know, it's also, we are at this point when we're all a little bit worn out, and we've been working so hard with this album. We're doing tons of interviews and promotion, mm-hmm. and which is amazing. You know, the interest has been very big. So we feel really fortunate and you know, privileged about that. But right now, I think we could need a few weeks of just, you know, doing something else. Hopefully people will listen to the album and enjoy it, you know.
Yeah.
And we also, but we are preparing also for the shows in January that we're going to play in Sweden. So we're always busy anyway.
I'm curious about the lyrical content. I mean, obviously, you're not a native English speaker, and neither is Jenny Ann. Do the lyrics come naturally to you? Is it a difficult process to come up with those lyrics?
You know, Jenny Ann writes the lyrics for the songs that me and her writes. So I think she must answer the questions about her lyrics. But, you know, there are a lot of subjects that we talk about. You know, we mm-hmm. We are married, me and Jan-Jan, we are married. I don't know if you know that, but so we, yes, we talk a lot about different things, everything from spiritual things to psychological things, you know, psychotherapy, and we are very interested in the human mind and, you know, all these kind of questions. So of course we, you know, some songs I have, like, what about, I usually throw out some, you know, ideas I have, like, what about writing a song about this? And sometimes she kind of hooks on that and does it, or sometimes she just does something on her own. And I think most of the time it's just her thoughts and words that we hear. So, but sometimes I come up with some small stuff. And Leif Edling, he's been writing songs his whole life, so he's just... Mm-hmm. I don't know how his lyric procedure is actually.
That's
what he's. But he's a great song lyricist as well, yeah, as Jan-Jan is.
Yeah,
I think they're both I'm very happy about them, because Jan-Jan really managed to write a lot of beautiful lyrics on this album. You know, we know about Leif Edling that he can write great lyrics, but it's amazing to see Jan-Jan really bloom on this album with her lyrics, I would say.
Right, cool. And we spoke about how diverse this album is. There's a lot of contrast in it. Of course, there's the doom side of things, but there's also a touch of Western on Lay Me Down, for example.
Well, you know, it's that kind of guitar playing always was close to me, and I'm very interested in, you know, those guitar players like Stephen Stills, for example. That kind of tuning that on that song is Stephen Stills' tuning.
Oh, okay.
I think Jimmy Page used it also sometimes, that kind of, I'm not sure about that, but so that's what inspired me to start to write that song. And it sounds a little bit like American, more American, I would say. And to us it's, I'm happy that we could bring in these elements in Avatarium, actually, because it opens up new doors for us musical wise, and to combine that almost like Western style thing with the dramatic and deep and psychedelic guitars is, I think that's a very interesting world to be in, musical wise, I would say.
Right. And I like how we kind of speed things up on Shake That Demon. So tell us about that one, if you can, please.
I think that song actually started with Rickard Nilsson, our keyboard player, said, like, why don't you try to do a faster song, like old, you know, Purple or Sabbath, you know, Dio style or whatever, you know.
Okay.
So, and then I started to kind of work on it, and after a while we had that song, but it took quite a long time. But I think it was the last song we wrote on the album, and it's also, you know, when we play live, it's always nice to have different tempos and to have faster songs, and so I think I'm going to try to hopefully try to write even more fast songs in the future.
Okay, good to hear.
Because it's fun to play, and, you know, it's another... Tempo is also, you know, a big part of dynamics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And the title track, it carries the band's DNA to a large extent. Did you write it specifically to be the centerpiece of the album, or did you pick it after all of the songs were written?
Yeah, we actually, I think that was one of the last decisions that the album should... We didn't think about it as a title until kind of when all the songs were done, and we felt like, yeah, this is a beautiful title, and I think all of us really love that song, and so it felt like a good choice, but it wasn't our intention from the start, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But that song is really special for me, and I'm very happy about that song. It feels like that song kind of, I know we worked on it a lot, but it sometimes it feels like that song came to us, and I'm extremely happy about that song.
Right.
Because I think, really enjoy it.
Yeah, I think it's the title. There's a reason why it's the title song on the album as well. So, yeah, I really enjoy it. Yeah.
And, oh, thank you.
Changing the subject a little bit, let's talk about the Grammy nomination for Candlemass, which you helped produce. I can't even imagine how great it feels to be part of it.
It's crazy. It's amazing. You know, I'm spending the last two years, I've been spending most of my time in my studio working with Candlemass and then with Avatarium. So it's and I don't haven't been touring and doing that kind of stuff. So I haven't met that many people actually. You know, I meet the Candlemass guys, I meet Avatarium guys and some friends now and then, and so and then all of a sudden, so sometimes it feels like, you know, I'm sitting in a desert island, you know. don't meet that many people. What?
You have a new kid as well, so
yeah, and I have the kid. Yeah, so I want to spend time with him as well. And so, and all of a sudden, we hear this news. It was like, what? We didn't even think this could happen. So, and so it's, you know, it's extremely, you know, I was so surprised and extremely happy about it. So it's a really big thing. It feels, I think I said sometimes that it feels like, you know, you throw out like a message in a bottle, you know, once a week, mm-hmm. and after 10 years, all of a sudden you see this big ship coming in, and like, we found your bottle, man. We like what we read.
Nice.
You know, so it's amazing. Yeah, it's really, really cool.
What was it like to work with Tony Iommi on the track that got nominated? I mean, did you guys meet in person? Did he just send you the files with
we were in contact with him and with his producer, Mike Exeter. Mm-hmm. So that was the procedure. We did a demo and I sent it to them, and he listened. It was fun because he answered that he'd listened to the song for a week. It's like, and he liked it, and he asked, I would like to see if I can do something on this song. Mm-hmm. That's what he said. So he'd been listening. He was really, you know, serious about it and listening to it before he made the final decision. And then he really wanted to do it, as I understood. And he played a solo. We didn't really know what he would do. So he recorded it with Mike Exeter, and they sent us the file. And
nice.
It was an amazing experience. And for me, just to pick up the files with his solo was, you know, he's one of the, maybe, you know, maybe number one, you know, guitar player, you know, for
absolutely.
Me. So it's just to do that and just to listen to the raw files, I think I learned, you know, a lot just to listen to these raw files about guitar sounds, actually. So he's an amazing guitar player in so many ways, and a songwriter, of course. And also seems to be extremely humble and nice person. So that was also one of the highlights, you know, the last 2 years.
Nice, very cool. And yeah, with this amazing nomination, with this nomination for the Grammy and the new Avatarium album, I think it makes this year quite special for you. But what can we expect for 2020?
Well, we will play some festivals this summer. We just announced we're gonna play Wacken in Germany this summer.
Oh, and nice!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's gonna be fun. And so probably we'll do some more festivals some, you know, maybe one, two off shows, actually, because since we have the kid, I'm not sure how much we can tour or how we can do it. But we're talking about it, and we have a booking agent who wants us to play live, and we're trying to find a good solution how we can do it. And we've been traveling with him before, you know, with a nanny and.
Mm-hmm.
So it works, but you know, I'm not sure about, you know, being in a tour bus with a 2.5-year-old. So we'll see how we will do it, but we definitely want to play and one way or another. So we'll see, and of course going overseas would be amazing. But we'll see. You know, at this moment, I'm not sure how we can do it, but I know we want to do it.
Okay. Well, I'll keep an eye out for it, and I hope new tour dates will be announced very soon. I live in Canada, so, and I hope I can get to see you guys live someday.
Yeah,
without that traveling. Would be... So I hope you make it to these shores, right? So.
Yeah, that would be, you know, we have to, you know, at one point we have to go overseas. And I would love to go to Canada. I've been in Canada once, some of the places I toured when I played with Evergrey.
All right.
So I really enjoyed North America and especially Canada. And so it was, so we really want to do that. Right. As long as, if you continue with the band, you know, we definitely at one point have to do it.
Well, Marcus, thank you so much for the interview and all the best at the Grammys and with the new Avatar album, The Fire I Long For.
Thank you very much. It was very nice to talk to you.
Thanks. For the viewers and listeners out there, thank you for sticking around. Please show your support by following us on Facebook and Twitter, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and sharing this interview if you can. We're going to finish now with the new single of Avatarum's new album, The Fire I Long For. The song is called Rubicon. Take care. Rock on.